Welcome and Sabbath blessing, everyone. Sabbath blessing, Dad, Mom, Joshua, and everyone. Welcome to the part two review of our chapter 75 entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part six, on this beautiful day, November 19, 2022. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Welcome and Sabbath blessing, dear Sister Yee and family. Our Tiny Talk theme song is entitled Jesus Loves Me. You can find it in number 190 in the hymn book, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. On the cross you died for me, I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any of the little tiny tots helped by parents or elder sibling would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Loving Father in heaven, we ask your presence to come and be with us this morning. Bless Rose as she teaches the lesson. Bless each soul that's listening. May we learn something from today's lesson that will help us throughout the week and on our journey toward heaven. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. And I hope and pray the little ones are doing well today and their parents. Well, this is the section where we hear all the blessing that the little ones have been for their mommy and daddy and also for the rest of the family. If you like to share your testimony, you can be able to unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Well, you know, I don't have any children to tell you about, but I can tell you about the neighbor's children. The Masons have their son and daughter-in-law and their three little children here this week end. And they are very, very obedient group of children. Mother tells them to do something. And they smile and say yes. I haven't been able to teach them to say, I'll be most happy to yet, but I'm sure they feel that way. I'm impressed with the way the little ones sit at the table. They'll say, Mother, may I have some of such and such or this or that? They won't jump in and grab it. And they're well trained. I guess they're preparing for a place at Jesus' table in heaven. I don't know their names. Oh, yes, I do. His name is Lymicus. And I said, where did you get that name? He said, he was Christian martyr. Oh, okay. The daughter's name. Oh, what was it? It's also a name of a female martyr. Can't recall right now. But anyway, it's a well-trained little family.
Wonderful, dear brother. Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommy's and daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma for their continued growth. In praying, their prayers started off so very simple, somewhat kind of mimicking what I would say or what they would hear others saying, but now they're able to pray to God and use the words as it's placed upon in their mind and in their hearts and on their lips. So praying by God's grace that they will go even a step further, and to be able to, to be able to really understand what is it that they're praying for and to live it, each thing that they're praying for.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing. If there's anyone else that would like to be able to share the little blessings in their home, you may have a chance to do so, or maybe later in our review section, we can be able to hear what the Lord has done for them. Welcome to all the precious family once more. Sabbath blessing. And this is our review section for the story of Jesus, chapter 10, teaching of Christ. And our dear brother will be the one to reread it for us.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. They didn't stay long. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. In other words, it was coming up time for Jewish Passover. And Jesus went to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge or a tiny whip of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. Now, that might be something hard to understand. That he would do that, but it's because the temple was supposed to be sacred and he wanted them to understand that what they were doing was wrong. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written in the Old Testament, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Among the Jews, religion had come to be little more than a round of ceremonies. In other words, they did the same thing over and over and over, and they forgot why they did it. As they had departed from the true worship of God and lost the spiritual power of His Word, they had tried to supply the lack by adding ceremonies and traditions of their own. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. Only His power can keep men from sinning. And only His power can keep boys and girls from sinning, too. But the Jews depended on their own works and ceremonies and their religion to earn them salvation. They thought by doing certain things, Christ would smile on them, save them. That's not the way it works.
because of their zeal for these ceremonies, they thought themselves righteous and worthy of a place in God's kingdom. But their hopes were fixed on worldly greatness. They longed for riches and power, and these they expected as a reward for their pretended piety. They look for the Messiah to set up his kingdom on this earth and rule as a mighty prince among men. But you know, Sister White says, few in Jerusalem were as poor as Jesus. He didn't have much in the way of earthly possessions. Every worldly blessing they hoped to receive at his coming. Let's see, let's let the Gerais back in. Jesus knew that their hopes were to be disappointed. He had come to teach them of something far better than they had sought. He had come to restore the true worship of God. He was to bring in a pure heart religion that would manifest or show itself in a pure life and a holy character. In the beautiful Sermon on the Mount, he explained what God thinks most precious and what would give real happiness. The Savior's disciples had been influenced by the teachings of the rabbis. And for these disciples, first of all, Christ's lessons were spoken. As they grew up, they heard from their Sabbath school teachers that Jesus was going to come as a king. Well, they didn't call him Jesus. Christ was going to come as a king, and he's going to run the Romans out of our country. We'll be number one again. That which he taught them was for us also. We need to learn the same things. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Christ said in Matthew 5:3. The poor in spirit are those who know their own sinfulness and need. They know that of themselves they can do nothing. They desire to help. They desire help from God, and to them his blessing is given. Story of Jesus, page 59 and 60. Thank you.
Next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled The Teaching of Christ in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place November 26, 2022. Now we are going to see the references from the Desire Ages, and our dear brother will continue to narrate.
All right. Chapter 16 from Desire of Ages, in his temple. Every Jew was required to pay yearly a half a shekel as a ransom for his soul. Now, a shekel was about a third of an ounce, between a quarter and a third of an ounce of silver. And the money thus collected was used for the support of the temple, Exodus 30:12-16. Besides this, large sums were brought as freewill offerings to be deposited in the temple treasury. And it was required that all foreign coins should be changed for a coin called the temple shekel. In other words, you couldn't bring in a Colombian peso or a Mexican peso or a French franc and expect to get anywhere with it. They'd say, no, no pasa. We don't accept that here. Remember that guy there, he'll change money for you. It was required that all foreign coins should be changed to a coin called the temple shekel, which was accepted for the service of the sanctuary. The money changing gave opportunity for fraud and extortion, and it had grown into a disgraceful traffic or business, which was a source of revenue for the priests. Oh, they got a cut in some of the exchanges made, the money they made exchanging. The dealers demanded exorbitant prices for the animals sold, and they shared their profits with the priests and rulers, who thus enriched themselves at the expense of the people. The worshippers had been taught to believe that if they did not offer sacrifice,
the blessing of God would not rest upon their children or their lands. Thus a high price for the animals could be secured. For after coming so far, the people would not return to their homes without performing the act of devotion for which they had come. A great number of sacrifices were offered at the time of Passover, and the sales at the temple were very large. Next slide. The consequent confusion, or the confusion that resulted, indicated a noisy cattle market rather than a sacred temple of God. There could be heard sharp bargaining, the lowing of cattle or moo, the bleating of sheep, the cooing of doves, mingled with the clinking of coins and angry disputation. So great was the confusion that the worshipers were disturbed, and the words addressed to the Most High were drowned in the uproar that invaded the temple. See, they were doing all this buying and selling just outside the door of the temple where the worshipers were gathered. The Jews were exceedingly proud of their piety, or their supposed holiness. They rejoiced over their temple and regarded a word spoken in its disfavor as blasphemy. Someday you'll understand that word better. They were very rigorous in the performance of ceremonies connected with it. In other words, they worked hard to perform the ceremonies that were called for. But the love of money had overruled their scruples or their honesty. They were scarcely aware how far they had wandered from the original purpose of the service instituted by God himself. When the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai, the place was consecrated by his presence. Moses was commanded to put a bond. Lost my place. Moses was commanded to put a bond around the mount and sanctify it, and the word of the Lord was heard in warning. Take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. Exodus 19:12-13. Thus was taught the lesson that wherever God manifests his presence, the place is holy. The precincts of God's temple, or the area around his temple, should have been regarded as sacred. But in the strife for gain or money, all this was lost sight of. Desire of Ages 153, 4 and 5. Ah, yes. Where did Jesus go?
Into the temple.
He went to the temple. What did he find in the outer court of the temple?
He found it was very noisy and busy.
He found that it had turned into a market, and people coming from a long ways away couldn't bring a sheep or some other creature for an offering, so they brought money. Like we do. We don't go to the store down here and carry some of the vegetables we've grown and say, I want to swap. You know, we take money down there. And because they came from foreign countries, they had foreign money. And the temple only used what's called the temple shekel. And so they had to exchange it. And in so doing, There was a lot of thievery going on. What were the money changers doing?
They were stealing from people from the other hype.
She said they were stealing from people by charging too high prices.
That's correct. They were. You see, the Colombian peso right now, it was 4,800 to 1. So if I went to the temple with 4,800 pesos, the money changer would probably only give me 75 cents. And he would keep the other 25 for himself. That's the way they robbed people. I say Colombian peso because that's the one I'm acquainted with the best as far as the foreign currency goes. And the whole idea is we have to be honest with ourselves and with others. That pleases the Lord. Thank you for taking part.
Amen, and thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for a tiny talk and parents to learn precious lessons in nature and the gems that lie beneath in God's creation. So let us continue to have our listening ear, for dear brother Josh will continue with the review of our part 23 of our topic, water.
Sad blessings, everyone, and here's today's lesson. It talks about when Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And research, my father's house. After this, as he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In this journey, Jesus joined one of the large companies that were making their way to the capital. He had not yet publicly announced his mission, and he mingled unnoticed with the throng. Upon these occasions, the coming of the Messiah, to which such prominence had been given by the ministry of John, was often the theme of conversation. The hope of national greatness was dwelt upon with kindling enthusiasm. Jesus knew that this hope was to be disappointed, for it was founded on a misinterpretation of the scriptures. With deep earnestness, he explained the prophecies and tried to arouse the people to a closer study of God's word. The Jewish leaders had instructed the people that at Jerusalem they were to be taught to worship God. Here, during the Passover week, large numbers assembled, come from all parts of Palestine, and even from distant lands. The temple courts were filled with a promiscuous throng. Many were unable to bring with them the sacrifices that were to be offered up, as typifying the one great sacrifice. For the convenience of these animals were brought and sold to the outer court of the temple. Here all classes of people assembled to purchase their offering. Here all form money was exchanged for the coin of the sanctuary. Every Jew was required to pay yearly a half shekel as a ransom for his soul. And the money thus collected was used for the support of the temple. Exodus 30:12-16. Besides this, large sums were brought as free will offerings to be deposited in the temple treasury. And it was required that all foreign coins should be changed for a coin called the temple shekel, which was accepted for the service of the sanctuary. The money changer gave opportunity for fraud and extortion, and it had grown into a disgraceful traffic, which was a source of revenue to the priests. The dealers demanded exorbitant prices for the animals sold, and they shared their profits with the priests and rulers, who thus enriched themselves at the expense of the people. The worshippers had been taught to believe that if they did not offer sacrifice, the blessing of God would not rest on their children or their lands. Thus a high price for the animals could be secured. But after coming so far, the people would not return to their homes without performing the act of devotion for which they had come. The desire of ages page 154 and 155. The dealers in the temple court need to have their lives cleansed from stealing from the people. The priests and rulers also need their lives cleansed, as we can see from the lesson that their lives were cleansed since they were so focused on gaining more money instead of focusing what worship in the temple was really about. Anyway, the blood from the animal sacrifices that were offered was a symbol of the blood of the Lamb of God that would be shed for the sins of the world. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7-9. And the character quality of the story is cleanliness versus dirtiness or impurity. And cleanliness is the habit of keeping clean and neat in the person, home, and surroundings as well as the spiritual life. And that's something the Pharisees didn't have yet and probably didn't have in the future either. And Jesus cleanses the temple. The dealers in the temple court need to have their lives cleansed from stealing from the people. That's why Christ had those tables turned and had those courts to break them out of their cages and toss all those coins everywhere on the floor. And I'll return it back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus not only came to cleanse them through the water of his word, but also through his pure blood, he was also trying to be able to transform them. What a wonderful Savior indeed. Remember, little ones, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Near the Cross, also found in 312 in the hymn book. If any one of the dear family would like to join to sing the hymn, you may unmute your mic to do so. Jesus, keep me near the cross, dear, a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till
my
anxious soul shall find rest beyond the river.
So a blessing, my daughter.
Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the cross and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross.
colossal Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with his shadow on me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen.
Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting forever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. For those that will be joining us also on other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up this morning. And please protect the word that we're about to learn. And please protect anybody that's in this Sabbath. And please protect the people who are in the Sabbath. And they can come back in the Sabbath when they feel better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, on the CD number 3. It's taken from Psalms 50, verses 14 through 15 from the King James Version.
Offer unto God thanksgiving.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones, before we hear your question, your comments, or anything that you would like to share with the Remnant family? We are going to reread part one of our lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, part 6, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 708. Go ahead.
The scene
passed
from the priest.
Vision.
Christ. Word. Cup. Him. The
Sadducees
told to the quick.
Mm-hmm. Caiaphas?
Caiaphas had
denied
the
doctrine
of the
resurrection.
Resurrection. The
judgment,
and future life. Now he was very
maddened
by
satanic
fury. Was this man a
prisoner
before him to ask
a sale?
His most
cherished
theories.
Thank you.
Next slide, please.
You're welcome.
Rending his robe.
That the people might see.
His pretended horror.
He demanded.
That without.
Further. Preliminaries.
Be condemned
for blasphemy. What further need have we?
Of witnesses.
He said.
Behold.
Behold.
Now.
Ye have heard.
His blasphemy.
What think ye?
And they all.
Condemned him. The Desire of Ages. Page 708. Paragraph 2. Amen.
Can I get off the line?
The Desire of Ages, page 708. Conviction mingled with passion led Caiaphas to do as he did. He was furious with himself for believing Christ's words. And instead of rending his heart under the deep sense of truth and confessing that Jesus was the Messiah, he rent his priestly robes in determined resistance. Next slide, please. Continuing. This act was deeply significant. Little did Caiaphas realize its meaning. In this act done to influence the judges and secure Christ's condemnation, the high priest had condemned himself. By the law of God, he was disqualified for the priesthood. He had pronounced upon himself the death sentence. Desire of Ages, page 708, paragraph 3. And on the side it says, and rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repentant him of the evil. Joel 2:13, King James Version.
Continue to read it, Desire of Ages, page 708. A high priest was not to render his garment. By the Levitical law, this was prohibited under the sentence of death. Under no circumstances, on no occasion,
was the priest to render his robe. It was the custom among the Jews for the garment to be rendered at the death of a friend. But this custom the priest were not to observe. Express command had been given by Christ to Moses concerning this. Leviticus 10, verse 6, Desiderius 7:08, paragraph 4. And in the slide, and Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto
Ithamar,
his son, uncover not your head, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest the wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning on which the Lord has kindled. Leviticus 10, verse 6. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 709. Everything worn by the priest was to be whole and without blemish. By those beautiful official garments was represented the character of the great antitype, Jesus Christ. Nothing but perfection in dress and attitude, in word and spirit, could be acceptable to God. He is holy, and his glory and perfection must be represented by the earthly service. Next slide, please. Nothing but perfection could properly represent the sacredness of the heavenly service. Finite man might read his own heart by showing a contrite and humble spirit. This God would discern. But no rent must be made in the priestly robes, for this would mar the representation of heavenly things. The high priest who dared to appear in holy office. Next slide. Companion, and engaged in the service of sanctuary with a rent robe, was looked upon as having severed himself from God. By rending his garment, he cut himself off from being a representative character. He was no longer accepted by God as an officiating priest. This course of action, as exhibited by Caiaphas, showed human passion, human imperfection. Desire of Ages, 709:1.
By rending his garments, Caiaphas made of no effect the law of God to follow the tradition of men. A man-made law provided that in case of blasphemy, a priest might rend his garments in horror at the sin and be guiltless. Thus, the law of God was made void by the law of man. Desire of Ages, page 709, paragraph 2.
Isaiah 7:9. Each action of the high priest was watched with interest by the people, and Caiaphas threw for effect to display his piety. But in this act, he discerned as an occasion against Christ.
Accusation?
Accusation against Christ. He was revealing the one of whom God has said, my name is in him, Exodus 23:20-21. He himself was committed, blasphemy, standing under the condemnation of God. He pronounced sentence upon Christ as a blasphemer. Isaiah 7:09:3. And on the slide, he said, beware of him who beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. Exodus 23:21. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, and thank you so much, dear family, for your participation. So let us consider the verse for our review section taken from 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what have we learned in ways we have grown? Well, dear ones, these are the 6 questions that we have reserved for our review. For those that are not able to see the screen, we are going to read it out. So maybe if you are moved to participate and share your thoughts, you may be able to do so by God's grace. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2 is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, which is the last one, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have the ability to text it on the screen, on the side of the text chat. Otherwise, you can use your mic to be able to share. Who would like to take number 1, dear ones?
The answer to number 1, who is the main characters? We see Jesus. We see the high priest. We see Caiaphas. We see Annas, and we see all the judges that were and the people that were in the courts of Caiaphas.
The answer to question 2, what is the main idea for this section of the story, is when Caiaphas rent his garment.
I just would like to add to number 2 in that we learned from this section of the studies that we should stand for principle and not be guided by our passion or feelings or try to impress others, but really try and stand by the principle of God and do things based on that.
Amen. The answer to number 3, where did the story take place? We know that the story take place in the courts of Caiaphas.
The answer to question 4, when did the story begin? When the scene passed from the priest's vision.
I'd like to add to number 4 that the story began from when Christ was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane.
how I could relate to this story, what I could tell is the high priest's garments was never to be torn in Caiaphas, and by doing that out of rage, age after hearing Christ's testimony about the future. And therefore his, and without a doubt, because of his deed, his priesthood will eventually be revoked. And besides wearing that, wearing the priestly garments is supposed to signify about Christ's position as high priest, but Caiaphas didn't know that. But those priestly garments were supposed to be signifying about his holiness and his work to save us from sin and corruption.
In rendering your heart, this part that I learned, is like, think about what God would have you do, or what is pleasing to God, what is thus saith the Lord in every circumstance, and that will guide you into a right place instead of what people might think or say, or think that is best for you to do or say. And so, yeah. Amen.
I'd like to add to number 6, what did you learn? It was recalled to mind that when Christ was on the cross and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Truly, let God's words be true and every man's a liar, because they truly didn't know what they were doing. They weren't acquainted with the scriptures. They were acquainted, but they didn't know. We see here in the study how Caiaphas rented his garment when explicit, when explicit direction was given that the priest should not be able to do this. So you can, that was brought back to mind in terms of what did I learn from the lesson here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. I would like to be able to add on what did I learn in this lesson. I learned how wonderful it was that when the Lord gave us the spirit of prophecy, we are able to see behind the scene. I always wanted to know what was the position of Caiaphas in the sight of he was a learned man and he was acquainted with all the laws that was given through Moses. And yet, even though he knew, he really truly didn't understand the meaning of it. And it's kind of frightening to be able to see that while he was rendering the garment, the very person that symbolized every thread of what he had on was right in front of him. Very solemn, very scary to me to be able to see that the blindness that the leaders had in those times, it is so compatible to what is happening today. A lot of people have heard of the Sabbath, yet they know that the Sabbath is one of the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments, the very heart of it. And even though they know, they really don't know the depth of what the Sabbath is all about and what they have been rejecting. And I am so grateful that the Lord had blessed us with not only the law, which is the word of God, also the spirit of prophecy. We can be able to be transported. You know, like in other words, you can experience in a very spiritual way what was really happening during the time that our Savior was being tried and all the corporate of every person and what part they were playing. And not only looking at that, we could bring it to the future. One day we will be in the possession of our Savior. And I pray that the Lord will be able to allow us to look up to heaven and keep our mind in the most holy place where the Holy Spirit can help us how to navigate, because there's nothing really in us that can help us at that moment. It's truly the harmony that you have with God and the peace that passes all understanding that can be able to lift you above what is really happening at that time. And that's what I have learned by God's grace. If there's anybody else that would like to share their thought, they can have the opportunity to do so before we continue. I would like to read a little bit of the comments on the side. Okay, let me see if I have missed anything. Praise the Lord. Okay. Our dear sister says, would we have done the same if we were there that time? Oh, dear sister, if we would have been holding on to the Savior and looking at the bigger picture of the mission, that whatever he will utter and whatever he will say or do had value of how things was going to turn out, we pray to God we would, by God's grace. In reality, we would not know until we are placed in that position and where our heart is at the time. And I pray to God that we will do the same thing that the Lord had done by example, knowing that he was representing his Father and not doing anything for the sake of himself, but really for the purpose of saving many souls. I pray that will be our position. And our dear sister said, easy to say when we have the hindsight already. We will never know until we get there. There's one thing about not being in trial, but when the trial comes is where the truth will come forth. Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing. And we have a thought as well to share in our reading. This one is taken from That I May Know Him, June 1st, and entitled A New Song in Our Hearts, chapter 152. If anyone would like to be able to share the reading, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 43. That I may know him. Page 158, paragraph 1.
He who believes in Christ becomes one with Christ to show forth the glory of God. For God hath put a new song into his mouth, even praise unto the Lord. He daily desires to know more of Christ that he may become more like him. He discerns spiritual things and enjoys contemplation of Christ. And by beholding him, he is changed imperceptibly to himself into the image of Christ. He does not place his dependence for acceptance with God upon what he can do, but relies wholly upon the merits of Christ's righteousness. Yet he knows that he cannot be slothful and be a child of God. He searches the scriptures that testify to him of Christ, that present before him the perfect pattern. From the same book, paragraph 2.
Precious truth is unfolded to his mind and receives it into the inner sanctuary of the soul. The attractions of the world become tame to him, for the glory and value of eternity are open before him. He can say to the apostle, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12.
Sister Grace, you may be able to continue.
Oh, sure. Thank you. He who has a genuine experience in the things of God will not be indifferent to those who are in darkness, but will inquire, what will Jesus say to those poor, needy souls? He will seek to let his light shine forth. He will pray for the wisdom, grace, and tact that he may know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. In place of engaging in trifling conversation, in jesting and joking, He will, as a faithful steward of the grace of God, make the most of his opportunity, and seed sown will spring up and bear fruit into life eternal. The treasure of truth is in the heart, and he brings forth a good good things. The wellsprings of life is in the soul, and the living waters flow forth. The last one is this your experience? Are you growing up into Christ, your living head? Or that the youth may consider the life of Christ and copy the pattern? Amen.
Amen. This also can be found in the youth instructor, December 22, 1892. Thank you, dear ones, for participating. We have a poem as well. It's entitled A Hymn of Praise for Recovery, taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, from Lesson 10, page 272, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. The title is The Nobleman's Son Got Well. If any one of the dear ones would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Lord, thou hast heard my humble voice, for all my pains depart. O grant that I may now rejoice with thanksgiving, with thankfulness of heart.
Many have died as young as I, though nursed with equal care, but God in pity heard my cry and has been pleased to spare.
Let me improve the years or days. Thy mercy lends me here, and show me gratitude and praise by living in thy fear.
The kindness that my friends have shown, oh, teach me to repay by double kindness on my own in every future day.
And lest I need thy rod again, I pray thee to impart, as long as health or life remains, a thankful, humble heart.
Amen. Good job, everyone. If there's any testimony that anyone would like to be able to share, you may be able to do so. We are going to continue to end our family meeting. So next week, by God's grace, we will have part 7 of our lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Again, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for the sun that is shining so beautiful, even though it's a little chilly outside. Father, thank you for the participation of all the children and their beautiful reading. Thank you for their support of their parents. Bless and keep them. Bless us, Father Jesus, as we continue in this Sabbath day. Continue to pour down your blessing upon us. Be with the speaker, Father, in the next section, and that we may do everything and say everything that is into your honor and glory. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be lesson 370 from chapter 75. entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, Part 7, and that will take place November 26, 2022. May you all have a blessed and peaceful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.